We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh, no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag. This is the Zabe Cast. From the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Super Bowl 59 is set. LIX from New Orleans. It'll be the Kansas City Chiefs against the Philadelphia Eagles. Stop me if you've heard that one before. How you doing, everybody? It's damn near midnight on Sunday night, and I am like my daughters when they were just young, little, adorable whippersnappers. And it would be bath time, and the bath would be over, and I'd say it's time to get out, and they would say, no. And then you would have to convince them and cajole them, and then some nights you'd have to actually just pull the plug on the drain. And luckily, my daughters didn't seem to understand how to defeat the drain being pulled up, but they stayed in the bathtub until all the water had drained out. They would then swim around in what little was left, flip around naked in the bathtub. And I would say, but Catherine, Megan, aren't you getting cold? There's no water left. They did not want to leave. And I get that feeling. That's how I am with football. As we are now down to one game left. Sure, it'll be a 60-minute game, tackle, professional style, with all the same rules, mostly, we think. And it'll be on television in glorious, not only high definition, but 4K. And I will observe it. That's the best I can do. Oh my God. Your opening line is Chiefs minus 1.5, and the Eagles are your dogs. I don't think the Eagles have it in them yet again. But even if I did, I would not have the stomach to either pull for it or, God forbid, root for it or bet on it. So therefore, I will observe the game like a goddamn UN, United Nations official in a blue helmet. I'll just stand there and watch. Who knows what's going to happen? But yeah, it's a rematch. Be at the Caesars Superdome, 6:30 kick time on Sunday, February 9. You've got 2 weeks to sit around and hate this matchup and loathe what you're going to have to endure in terms of hype and storylines and Mahomes is the greatest and how come nobody appreciates Jalen Hurts? 2 full weeks of that shit. Then they'll finally play the game. And you will watch. Oh, you will watch. Spare me the I'm not watching takes. Miss me with the I'm going to go to the movies instead riff. Enough already, okay, people? Even those of us who cannot stand this matchup, which we knew we were on a collision course for with the 1 seed and the 2 seed once the Lions shit the bed, you're going to watch, okay? You're going to watch. 6:30 kick time, halftime by Kendrick Lamar. Hopefully it's good. Fox has the broadcast, Burkhart and Brady and Aaron Andrews and Tom Rinaldi. 60-second ads are going for $7 million. They're sold out, so don't ask to buy. And Hollywood Henderson once famously said for the Cowboys, well, if it's the most important game in the world, How come they play it again every year? Pretty good point right there. Chiefs are going for a three-peat. Would be unprecedented in the modern Super Bowl era. The Packers did it when it was technically a one- and two-peat. The first of their three was a league championship, and then the Super Bowl followed for 2 years, and the Packers won it when the upstart AFL was granted a seat at the table. So this is truly going to be new ground in the modern NFL, not just Super Bowl era, but also in the modern salary cap free agency era. What the Chiefs are doing is very, very hard. If they do it, oh, by the way. Saquon Barkley must-watch TV, rematch, two name-brand quarterbacks. Yeah, yeah. Somebody on Twitter had a great line, I think, Friday, saying, y'all don't really think there's going to be Commanders and Bills cookies out in grocery stores next week, do you? And when I read that, I said, huh, yeah. When you put it that way, I'm like, no. No, but I know these games are not rigged. They're not rigged. But sometimes, you wonder if the thumb is on the scale. And we're going to get to all this in just a second. All right, in case you're wondering, nobody is joining me tonight. I thought about maybe putting a pod in the can Sunday morning and just saying, well, the games, I wanted to watch them and enjoy them, so, you know, I'll get to them tomorrow. No, I'm up here damn near at midnight because I'm feeding the beast. I'm giving you people what you want. So, yes, I will watch the Super Bowl. And there's reasons, by the way, to hate both teams, both franchises, to hate both coaches, to hate both cities, to hate both fan bases, to hate both teams and their media cheerleaders. But let's start with the number one, first and most obvious reason to hate the Chiefs and the Eagles. They're good. Really, really good. Fucking good. That's the highest form of hate praise you can have. Of course I hate you. Look at how good you are. Like the Thomas Rhett line, sure she's got haters, but you can't blame her. Look what God gave her. We hate both these teams because they're really, really good, and they're back again. The Eagles are back again after a disastrous wipeout last year. At the end of the season, a humiliation in the playoffs to the Buccaneers. And they came back with an absolutely boffo draft, and they made the move to go by the running back that they bet on being healthy and being the secret sauce to get them through. And boy, did that come out smelling like roses. Unbelievable, the acquisition of Saquon Barkley. I'm surprised that John Mara hasn't jumped off a high ledge somewhere. Please don't, by the way, Mr. Mara. You've got too much to live for. What? He's a billionaire. Of course you are. Well, you get my point. He probably got grandkids upon grandkids upon grandkids. But, I mean, given how things were this time last year or shortly after this time when they were doing Hard Knocks offseason, he's like, oh, man, God, you sure about this? You going to let him go to – if he goes to our rival, if he goes to the Eagles, I'm going to have a hard time sleeping. Wow. This is one of the all-timers in sports. I like Barkley. I hate to admit it. I hate that he's on the Eagles. I hate that he eviscerated the Commanders on Sunday and sent many of my friends and former media colleagues absolutely – into orbit with just tackle the guy for God's sakes. But I like Saquon Barkley. I like the way he conducts himself, and I think it's a good story. It's about all I like with the Eagles, but I give them credit. They rebounded after falling apart last year, navigated a rough patch during the season with quarterback wide receiver issues, kept it all together, kept it in house, and won this game with an interior of their own line that was falling apart at the seams. We'll get to some more of that in just a second. Meanwhile, the Chiefs had one of the worst years we'll ever see from Mahomes, statistically. I mean, his numbers are dog shit this year. But it's because he doesn't really have a reliable go-to wide receiver right now, and Pacheco's been hurt, and they don't have a consistent running game. Everything's been kind of patch and spackle and figure shit out, and they've won a shit ton of one-score games. And they win another one on Sunday. Their go-to, the go-to for Mahomes, Travis Kelce, is now more lumbering than ever. But fuck, he's open a lot. And he does that spin thing where you're like, you didn't think he was going to do that? That's what he does all the time. That's his move. So yeah, fuck them both. America's sick of you because you're both really, really good. But don't take it personally. Chiefs 32, Bills 29. And everyone's going to talk about the fourth down play and the spotting of the football and replay and everything else. We'll get to it. First, let me say this. Dalton Kincaid, oh Lord have mercy. Last week it was Mark Andrews. This week it's you. Now granted, the degree of difficulty on Kincaid coming down with that fourth down back foot, backpedaling for his life off an amazing exotic blitz from Steve Spagnuolo was far higher than what Andrews had to execute. And it was no guarantee of a winning play. It would have put him immediately right on the outer edge of field goal position that he caught it. But that would have only tied the game a field goal. There was a lot of time left. I kind of felt like if he catches it, it means the gods have said, this is your time, and you're going to go all the way. But the gods, well, I don't know, Buffalo. You must have done something to make him angry. I don't know what it is. You seem like nice people, nice franchise, good guys on that team, but fuck. The gods do not like you. So, poor Dalton Kincaid, that's my first top line takeaway. Of course, the Bills still had a chance to get the ball back, but they allowed two first downs, one to Pacheco, another one to Samaje Perine. The fact that Samaje Perine is still in the league and productive is both a testament to him and the Chiefs for finding this useful player and plugging him into a role where they can trust him to throw the ball on third and nine, was it? To seal the game. Part of another reason why they hate the Chiefs, they're good at finding these guys. Perine's been in the league forever. I remember when he was a Redskin, when the name was still Redskins. Yeah, that's how long ago. Sean McDermott constantly going for it on fourth and one to his left cost him the game. Or more appropriately, Brady, their OC. And on the two-point conversions, going for it all the time. It started when McDermott decided to go for it down 21-16 at the end of the second quarter, going into half. He got cute. He goes, well, you know, it'd be great. We make the two. It's only a three-point game. Hey, dipshit. There's an ocean of game left. There's an ocean of plays left. You don't know how the points are going to fall. Besides, there is numerical value in kicking a extra point to be down four because a field goal by the Chiefs still puts you at seven, not eight. It was just too damn early. And then, of course, once you fail, you start to chase. You're like a gambler who's desperate after midnight drunk. You're chasing. And it killed him. Now let's get to the call that will be talked about longer and harder than Dez caught it. And it was a colossal replay fail, but it was colossal in more ways than you think. Here's why. Because of replay, the usual procedures by the referees were not just followed improperly, they were abandoned. All so they could let replay make the call. And the problem with letting replay make the call, and this is what I've said forever, and some people still do not get it. I don't want the league making the calls. I want the referees on the field collaborating with their crew to make the calls and let them stand however they stand. But the league made the call. I had to go to the NFL's operations website, operations.nfl.com, and go to their inside the Art McNally Game Day Central known as the AMGC, the hub of NFL replay review, or as I like to call it, Satan's belly of the beast. Art McNally was a official and supervisor of officials back in the day, and probably a fine fella, entertaining chap, but replay needs to die. Because here's what happened. They never made the call in the first place. They never signaled first down on the field. They never signaled fourth down, or they never signaled turnover, Chiefs ball short of the first down. They never spotted the ball. They never cleared the players out to let the referees come around the ball, to bring the chains out, to let the TV cameras zoom in. Okay, they spotted the ball at the 39 and a half yard line. Here come the chains. We know the yellow line's not official, people. Let's see where... None of that happened. That, to me, is the biggest tragedy, travesty, scam, travishamockery of the entire thing. That's the basic mechanics of the play. Spotting the ball is an inexact science. And the one thing that I'm going to hate more than anything is I'm going to have to endure a week's worth, if not more, of chip heads who want to put chips in the ball. We could put microchips in the ball, RFID chips in the ball. We could use lasers. I'm going to have to hear the laziest and dumbest take ever in sports, which is, you know, we got two old guys with two sticks and a chain for a $20 billion league. It's not the sticks. It's not the chains. It's the eyeballing of, here's how far player X got with tiny football Y buried inside his arms and his stomach and his chest, surrounded by another 21 bodies of sheer violent humanity. Did I get that right? 11 plus 11 is 22. Yeah, ball carry. 21 other people are trying to kill this guy. Oh, well, we could put a chip in it. Then we could have sensors, and then maybe the sensors would tell if it at all broke the plane that he had to get. But, I mean, how accurate would it be? Yeah, accurate down to an inch? And what about forward momentum? And was his knee down? And I don't know. I mean, was the ball starting to come loose there? Chip heads, listen to me. There is nothing more precise needed than two sticks and a chain once you spot it, because the distance between two sticks on a chain is the exact same every single time you stretch it tight. Right down to within, I'm sure, a quarter of an inch. As close as you're going to get. You're not going to do any better with lasers and chips. You will do better, though, with more cameras and common sense. And this is where I hate everything about how this happened. My friend, Mike Keller, who I'll talk to in, oh, I don't know, about 7 hours as I look at the clock right now, about to strike midnight. He loves replay, believes in it, thinks that even though it doesn't get it perfectly right all the time, it's well worth having. And Mike, I consider a smart man, of kind of like my older brother, and it hurts me deep down that he is so obtuse and doesn't get it about the conundrum, the unsolvable riddle that is replay, which is now being supplemented with more replay, they say. They might add automatic expedited review to personal foul calls like the ones that Mahomes got last week to help make a better set of calls based on, instead of bang, bang. I'm like, great. They'll just use that tool to give Mahomes even more calls. But once you start down this road, you're never going to stop the slide. And we are way down the road. I don't want the league making the call because I don't trust the league. Do you? And it's the league making the call because you ask yourself, well, wait, who actually made the call? Josh Allen appears, by my eyes, to easily gain the line to gain with the football securely wrapped up square against his chest plate. Can I prove it? Do I have photographic evidence of it showing the ball clearly across? No, I do not have that angle. But they only showed us about four angles. The standard TV copy, low angle down the line, low angle opposite field down the line, and a spider cam shot that is, once again, frustratingly not square over the ball at snap. Some wise guy on Twitter said, you know, the thing has to be behind the line of scrimmage so it's not in play when the game's gone. I'm like, shut the fuck up. You park that thing 25 feet above the line of scrimmage. It's not in play. Nobody's going to throw a ball straight up and hit it. It's fine. But I digress. So we saw five cameras. I actually was wondering, I wonder how many cameras they had at the game, CBS. I looked this up. Most networks bring 165 cameras to the Super Bowl. That's right, 165. I would go as little as 20. I bet CBS had 20 cameras at the game. We saw four angles. That's it. And what's even more insane is that, so I had to check. I go, wait a minute. Let me just get this straight for the record. Was I not paying attention? Was I tweeting something and not looking at my TV when they showed the chains and the ball and the spot and the ref and CBS ISO'd on Cleet Blakeman, who went on his mic and said, the ruling on the field is the runner is short. First down, Kansas City. Did I miss that? Was I taking a piss? What was going on? Thankfully, you people on Twitter said, no, how you described it is exactly correct. They stop Josh Allen. One line judge runs in clearly on the side of a first down. The other guy, not on the side of a first down. And at that moment, many of us said, good fucking luck on this one, people. They huddle up. Next thing you know, they say, we're going to replay. CBS goes to commercial. I mean, pretty much the whole game is hanging on the line here. Now, there was still 8 minutes and change, I want to say, left in the fourth quarter. A lot of time left. Game had more possessions to go, but this would have been huge. Huge, a new set of downs deep in Chiefs territory with the Bills holding the lead. But don't worry. Replay is there to get it right, kids, except when it doesn't. So, Heller thinks it was a good no call because, well, you know, where's the evidence? Can you prove it? To which I said, well, if you're Heller, you want at least 51% of identifiable pixels being brown football and not an arm, not a guy's leg, not somebody's jersey, a majority of pixels, and he wants eyewitness, take a deposition in front of lawyers, and maybe a notary on top. Evidence. What evidence? How about the common sense evidence of, look at Josh Allen's torso. Where do you think the ball would go? There's nowhere for it to go. There's a lot of people, I would say the majority of people, non-Chiefs fans, are on the side of, that was a horrible call. Including guys like Dan Orlovsky, who said, that's an awful call, and again, a worse review. The ball is clearly past the line. Ross Tucker, same thing. He knows ball. Matt Leinart, he knows ball. Kurt Benkert, he knows ball. And I'm sure there's many more. But the problem was the procedures on calling it were not followed at all. They were abandoned. And then the league made the call. Here it is, right from the operations page, NFL. A designated AMGC technician, that's the Art McNally Game Center. An AMGC tech is assigned to monitor each game, and three AMG decision makers, Perry Fuel, Walt Anderson, and John Berger, make final replay decisions. That's it. The league makes the call. This is the world we're living in. And there's nothing I can do about it but point it out and maybe convert some of you. Maybe some of you go, you know what? You finally put it in the terms that I understand. This is no good. We can't have the league making these crucial calls. And like I said with the fly cam, why hasn't the league said, look, we're going to instruct the networks to let us dictate where they are to put the camera on these close calls. We want that thing right over the ball. Put it up high. It's got plenty of resolution to crop in and see where the, you know, forward progress is. It's an incredible tool. Why was it not quite overhead? It was a little bit back. So there was an overhead shot. It looked like he got the first down. And I'm like, I wouldn't rely on that one because it had a bit of an angle to it. Maybe they don't want complete evidence. Maybe they like to have a little bit of leeway. Who knows? But there it is. Another great fail in the history of replay, which gets it right, maybe sort of, kind of, with a whole bunch of delays and a ton of unforeseen consequences along the way. And the biggest consequence of all is that people just do not trust the system now. Also, I forgot to mention, they come back from timeout. It was brutal. I'm sitting there for 3 minutes. I felt like Rod Tidwell's wife waiting for them to get back on TV after he was seen motionless in the end zone. I'm like, I can't believe I'm sitting here watching commercials, hanging on pins and needles about, well, we're waiting. So they come back. Romo was iffy and waffly. He wasn't really pretty firm, but Nance and Steratore did not like the call. And if Gene Steratore says, yeah, no, I don't like the call there, I think he clearly got it. Steratore never takes a fucking stand. And I love Gene. Mean Gene. Great ref. Bad on TV. When he takes a stand, holy shit, you blew it. Wish it, want it, blew it. And so now you've got guys pretty much from all corners going, the league is rigged. He can't have this. If a ref makes a bad spot on the field, at least it's the ref on the field who's worried about doing his job the best he can, and he's going to be reviewed by league officials, and he's not going to get them all right. But Jesus. When Matt Miller, my friend, says, a bad look for the NFL that not only are goofy everyday football fans posting about the game being rigged, but now actual players and or media personalities are joining in too. It's not a good look. It's not going to slow business, though, because the NFL has the unkillable business. We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets, or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag. The World Series, Super Bowl, the Olympics. The world's top athletes get to play in these top-level sporting events thanks to one thing, teamwork. And teamwork can also protect your financial legacy and your family's future. SelectQuote's licensed insurance agents are the perfect teammates when shopping for a customized, affordable life insurance plan. They can find you the right policy to keep your financial legacy safely in your family's end zone. Get the right life insurance for you for less at SelectQuote.com/Zabe. That's SelectQuote.com/Zabe. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo today to get started. That's SelectQuote.com/Zabe. Now, on the Bishop non-INT for the Bills, what screwed me up is I'm watching and scrubbing back and forth, back and forth, back and forth on some videos on Twitter was that it took me, I don't know, not exaggerating, 24 scrubs through to go, oh, wait a minute. It's Bishop for the Bills who has red gloves on, and Xavier Worthy for the Chiefs has white gloves on. So in the tangle of arms and bodies and hands, I was assigning the red gloves to the Bills player instead of vice versa. So as I looked at it, I'm like, all right, it looks like Worthy has it for a split second with one hand, but it's pinned to the arm of Bishop. And then as they're coming down, and Worthy has one hand on it, pinned to Bishop's arm. The ball then slides. The nose definitely hits the ground. It then slides off of Bishop's arm and gets pinned to his shoulder, but with Bishop's arms very much entangled in the whole thing. To me, it was in order of, here's what I would think it would normally get called on a random Sunday at 1 o'clock between the Titans and the Jaguars. It'd be called an interception first, an incompletion second. No, let me reverse that. Incompletion first, interception second, and then a catch almost never. But again, we got replay to get these things right. That was a tough one because there was a lot going on right there. One more thing about the refereeing. Mark Tauscher, former Packer great, Wisconsin great, says it feels like the NFL has just started implementing new rules without having any dialogue with players or other partners. Don't remember Sky Judge and replay assist ever being discussed. They just installed it. Now you run a play and you can challenge the previous play after you ran a play. Oh, that was another thing. Is that on the interception that was not an interception or not an incompletion, McDermott challenged, but they'd already run a play. Because when you throw the flag, you're just supposed to toss it gently on the field. You know, you can get a 15-yard unsportsmanlike if you fire the flag angrily into the middle of the field. I've seen it like once where they did that. They're like, no, you just need to toss the flag to let us know you're challenging. Like, no, you should be able to whip that thing into the middle of the field. Anyway, dating back to 1972, NFL teams that have scored four touchdowns and committed no turnovers in a playoff game are 85-6. In the last 20 years, they're even better than that, only having lost two times. Do you need me to tell you the two times a team scored four touchdowns, committed no turnovers, and didn't win the game? Yeah, it's the Bills. There were five fumbles in the game. The Bills recovered them all and still lost. From the golf Twitter account Antifaldo, quote, if I were a linebacker, 35-year-old Travis Kelce pivoting upfield with a turning radius of an old Cadillac and still beating me would radicalize me. Yes. Mahomes is great. That is undeniable. He was over the 99th percentile in terms of drop back success win rate, and I don't know how they compute that stat, but I know that the stat nerds love it. There were only four games this year in which a QB produced a successful play rate at over 99th percentile. Mahomes did it on Sunday. Josh Allen's the first quarterback to lose four playoff starts against another quarterback, Mahomes. Sean McDermott is the first head coach to lose four playoff games against another head coach, Andy Reid. And yeah, there's some buzz out there that McDermott's got to go. It would feel good in the moment. Who are you going to get this late in the cycle? I mean, it's an attractive job, obviously. And we want to assign some moral failing to McDermott. He just doesn't inspire me personally, but he had the Bills up with 13 seconds, and they still lost in that first meeting at Arrowhead. This one, they had a real good shot if Kincaid can just hold on to win the game. Is that a moral failing? Is that a failure of courage, imagination, leadership by McDermott? It would be comfortable, and you'll get a lot of hot takes on radio, I'm sure, that says, yes, that's exactly what it is. But I'm not sure I subscribe to that. Eagles 55, Commanders 23 in the NFC Championship game earlier on Sunday. Most points in a CCG since the merger. Three back-breaking fumbles. Dyami Brown, Austin Ekeler, and Jeremy McNichols with the crumble kick return fumble. I think returning kicks is a sucker's play. More often than not, you'll have a disaster instead of something that really gives you a good thing. I'd take knees whenever and wherever I can. So crushing. And of course, three back-breaking Saquon Barkley touchdown runs. A frisky and efficient Jalen Hurts, bruising and great tackling defense by Philly that exposed the Commanders to be what they actually were, which was a gritty, magical, overachieving team that honestly has very few players on it other than number 5, number 17, number 0, that anyone else would want to steal. The rest of their guys are spare parts. Now, they came together nicely, and there is a strong argument to bring some of them back on reasonable deals. They've got the cap space to do it. I think Ertz, even though he's 34, you bring him back for sure. More on Ertz in a second. I think you bring De'Ami Brown back as well. How much does Bobby Wagner still have in him? I don't know. Again, for the right money, there's certain team leaders you would want to bring back. But Philly exposed the Commanders. The pumpkin turned into the carriage turned into a pumpkin. That was the template I was worried about. And if I'm being honest, Andy was running his fucking mouth on this podcast last week, was he not? Oh, they're going to win. I feel like it. I can feel it in my bones. They're winning the Super Bowl. It's amazing. Going all the way. Like, Andy, you sure about that? Anyway, we almost had one of the rarest things in all of football. The palpably unfair act administered in a game. This thing is a doozy. It occurred, of course, when the Eagles kept trying to do the tush push, which Washington had kind of gotten a bead on. And because the Eagles' O-line was in such tatters, they kept trying it like, no, this is 2 years ago, and Jason Kelce is still in his prime. So we can run this. We're going to get it. It's a 90% success. I mean, you already had your starting center out, but then he came back in with a bad back. You had Jordan Mailata filling in nicely, and then he had to leave. I think it was Mailata. Hold on a second. I got to go to our lads. Did I tell you it's after midnight right now? The things I do for you people. Depth chart. Eagles. Just want to get this right, because then I'm going to get 28 emails saying, oh, you got this wrong. No, it was Landon Dickerson. Excuse me. Dickerson goes down for when he was subbing for Cam Jurgens. Jurgens has to come back in. They're trying to do this over and over and over again. You got Frankie Louvu diving over the center, crashing the party. And people were like, what? You could just award a touchdown? When has that ever happened? And I think you got to go back to the leather helmet days. It's meant to be put in there for a, what was the movie where Wesley Snipes shoots a guy in the football field? You know, one of those situations where a guy's running for a touchdown and somebody comes off the sidelines and just smacks him upside the head with a first down marker and knocks him down. They can award a touchdown just for that. Never been used, though, in my lifetime in the NFL. And as controversial as the Smoot-Hawley tariffs of the 1930s, the palpably unfair act rule. The tweets of people saying, don't tell this to the refs in Kansas City. Here was Landon Dickerson after the game, I think this was Cam Jurgens after the game talking to none other than the lovely and talented Stacey Dales.
Cam Jurgens, it was one of the most heralded performances for you to not start this game and come back and play in the second half after Landon went down. I don't know where to start. What does this feel like for you?
I'm just so proud of this team.
By the way, networks, you don't need all these stupid sound effects for your graphics popping up on the screen. I know I'm sort of a biased and self-interested party, somebody who's playing your sound as part of my product, a podcast, but come on.
Just want to say thanks to the trainers, Joe, Tom. It was a long week.
Yeah, I feel your emotions, Cam. What happened this week? We were all shocked by the back injury. When did it pop up for you? How did you work through it?
You know, it's just, you know, it's football. It's violence. So yeah. Just fighting. And this team's got so much fight. I love it. We're going to win this next one.
Yeah.
I mean, that is amazing. WIP Spike Eskin had the tweet of the night saying, poor Cam Jurgens after his 17th straight tush push must be like, you know, I wasn't even supposed to be working today. I wasn't even supposed to be in work today. Imagine a center with a back problem of all the injuries to deal with. Bending over, snapping the ball, and then immediately jerking into an upright position with your back and blocking another angry, violent, 300-plus pound man or multiple of them. It's incredible. But that's football, and that's what winning teams do. They have guys who step up and figure out a way to get it done. I mentioned Zach Ertz. Of course, he played in Philly for quite a while, had a great career there. This nice little rebirth for a year in Washington led him to say this about his quarterback, Jaden Daniels, who at times was once again spectacular. But then, you know, Philly was able to get him to spots that he was not comfortable with, and they made him look mortal at times. But he's so good, Jaden Daniels. Here was Zach Ertz talking about what he wishes.
Obviously, I'm going to be disappointed we didn't win this one. I've only played in two of these NFC Championship games in 12 years, so I understand how difficult it is to get here. But the thing I'll take away is just the bond that I had, the guys that I met playing with Jaden. You know, I wish I was 22 playing with him. Had my whole career in front of me with him. So,
damn, I wish I was 22 and had my whole career in front of me playing with him. I think he'll get at least another year, maybe two. We'll see about that. But still, that's a perspective you think about going, shit. Imagine being that guy going, I finally landed somewhere. I mean, not that he had bad quarterbacks before or bad career before, but this would have been super exciting to think, hey, we got a guy and he and I can really, you know, you look at Mahomes and Kelsey, that could be us, me and Daniels. Of course, he's 34 and the NFL is relentless. Also, Zach Ertz got a huge man hug from Fletcher Cox of the Eagles. And again, I am programmed to hate everything about the fucking Eagles. But Fletcher Cox is a man's man. Just a mountain of a beast of a Hall of Fame defensive tackle. And when he saw Ertz in the bowels of the link, shouted out, hey, Zach, came over and gave him a big-ass full hug, nipple-to-nipple, cheek-to-cheek, man-to-man hug that included some gentle swaying between the two men. I mean, that's good shit right there. Like I always say, into my veins. I love it. My friend Kevin Sheehan, who had me on his pod with Andy on Friday and dragged me into a discussion about the name when I didn't want to be that negative asshole on a Friday, but he insisted that I give my opinions on it on his podcast. Not only did he drag me into the deep water talking about the name when I tried to steer the conversation away from it, but he then released the podcast on Sunday. And so, of course, I got people on my timeline saying mean things about me. Not today. Read the room. Didn't give a shit about the name today. I wanted to win the game, beat the Eagles. I'm like, hey, I didn't know when Sheehan was going to release it. It's a weird time on a Sunday morning, but whatever. That's his podcast release schedule. Anyway, Kevin Sheehan says, a season to remember, got their QB, must improve on both lines and scrimmage. Defense is the offseason priority. They've got the cap space to do it. Yep, there they go. I mean, that's pretty much it in a nutshell. Some freezing cold takes out there. I don't know who Bobby Spence is, but he said, I honestly believe when all is said and done, Saquon's biggest regret of his career will be signing with Philly. And then there's this cold take. After a game earlier this year in which Saquon Barkley dropped a would-be touchdown against the Falcons early in the season on a Monday night, or is Thursday night maybe, one of the primetime games, lost to the Falcons, dropped a pass. This guy, Sean Morash, who is on The Fan in New York, part of Big Blue Kickoff Live, BetQL, still haven't taken my SATs yet. I became a college professor, har har. He had this scalding hot take after Barkley was human and dropped a touchdown pass that could have won the game.
I tried to tell you, Eagle fans, You have that losing player, Saquon Barkley, with all his crap drops in crucial spots, and already in week two, he's cost you a football game. Losing players lose games. Enjoy that. Enjoy Nick Sirianni's man titties. Enjoy it all, Philly. You guys suck. Saquon sucks. You lost to Kirk Cousins in prime time. Fly, Eagle. Saquon sucks. Enjoy him.
Yeah, that's the state of the industry right now. I guess this is what you have to do. I don't have the appetite to be that much of a douchebag, but I'm sure good old Sean Morash will parlay this like the mouthy guy in Detroit who got his lunch shoved down his throat. One last thing, and then I'm going to bed. Holy shit, 42 minutes. I hope you've enjoyed me talking about the games. Not bad. Nobody want to stay up with me. I'm here. I culled together a lot of different material for this. I hope it worked out okay. One last thing. The Cowboys hire Brian Schottenheimer since the last time I sat in front of this mic. Oh, boy. Because like Dave Chappelle once said, why? Why not? Fuck him. This is a terrible hire process-wise. It may work out. But Brian Schottenheimer was on nobody's short list of candidates. He is not just a career assistant, but he's even worse. He's a career Nepo baby assistant. And the fact that he was part of your staff, that you let the head guy go but kept Shoddy Jr. after a few half-hearted Jerry's going on a solo mission to call up a few guys like Witten and Dion, and he settles on Brian Schottenheimer? That's terrible process. But it's because the job is not good, not while Jerry Jones, at 83 years old, is still calling the shots and probably not still as his son Steven is there, because I'm not sure Steven's going to be any better or different. Somebody on Twitter said, the Eagles are about to head back to the Super Bowl, but don't worry, gang. Steven Jones says they'll have salary cap issues at some point, so who's to say who's really running their franchise the right way? Ernie, the Cowboy fan on Twitter, says, Howie Roseman is 49 years old, GM of the Eagles. He's sharp, innovative, takes risks, not a look-at-me guy, goes after big-time players. Jerry Jones, 82, slow, stubborn, ego-driven, outdated. Jerry legit has been watching the Eagles operate at a high level and says, you know what? I'm going to do the opposite. Watch it. It'll work. Never works. Okay. The tub is empty. I'm starting to get cold. I guess bath time is over. Football is over. Time to go to bed. If you wouldn't mind, if you're in the Milwaukee, Wisconsin area, just tune into your favorite morning radio show, Zabe and Butch in the Morning. We'll hear Butchie's take on things. Badgers won in basketball yesterday. They beat Nebraska, good Nebraska team on the road. Greg Gard's got them playing good football. I'm sure he'll be excited. I'm sure he did see some of the games after the basketball was over. So tune in tomorrow with me in about 5 hours or thereabouts. And then, of course, rate and review this podcast if it suited your audio pleasure. Super Bowl LIX on its way from New Orleans. Chiefs -1.5. And no, I don't have a strong lean either way. There'll be a lot of compelling arguments as to why the Eagles can do it this time. I don't know who I'm going to bet on. But if you do bet, please go to mybookie.com. Use promo code ZABE. How do you spell Zabe? E-L-G-S-E-S. Zabe. That's how you do it. Thanks for listening. Have a great Monday, and we will see you next time.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.